Father, we just thank you so much for the words that are read today. We ask that you put them in our hearts, that we would not forget them, that we would learn of the things that you have for us, and that you would open our eyes and our understanding, that we would see the things you have for us in Yeshua's name. Amen.
All right. So this section I entitled Preparing for the Bride. A lot of people would ask, well, how does this relate to Yeshua's when he comes back and he's going to get his bride back from all the earth? Well, it's pretty apparent to me when I looked at it that Joseph, he is acting as the Messiah. In fact, at one point he says that he is going to bring them into the land of Egypt as a great, wanted to bring them into the land as an escape from the famine that was all around them. They were sitting around and they were wondering what they were going to do. His father sent them into Egypt. Why? Because they needed seed. They needed not only seed, but needed grain and all the food they would need for the rest of that year. Because there was no land, in all the land, there was no food. This opens up in this reading with Joseph revealing himself to his brothers. I can only imagine how that would have been like for the brothers who had thought that he was already dead. They looked for him all throughout the land of Egypt when he went into the land the first time and in the second time. They couldn't find him. They were hoping that he was still alive because they were going to get him and bring him back to their father. This is according to the book of Jasher. When they couldn't find him, they thought he was dead. In fact, they said so as much that when Joseph asked of Benjamin, he said, do you have a little brother and a father? And they said, well, yes, we have an aged old man. He's our father, and our brother Benjamin is there. And he is tied to him in a way that it was so much so that if they took Benjamin from his sight, they were feared that Israel would have died at that time because his heart was so wrapped up in the little boy because he is all he had from Rachel, his wife, because he thought that Joseph was dead as well. The things that happen we don't understand until we look back over the years and see what Yahweh has done for us. As I look back over my lifespan, I can see where he has placed his hand on me to guide me along the path that he's placed me on. We should be thankful for all the times that he has allowed us to go through these events to allow us to grow and to mature in him and to lead others to him. The 10 brothers had every right to be afraid of Joseph, for he was number two in all of Egypt who could have killed them if he wanted to. And he had the power and authority to, because he accused them first. He knew who they were, but he wanted them to think that he didn't know who they were. He thought, if I would tell them that they are spies, I wanted to see how they would react. God puts us in these tests to see how we would react, not that he doesn't know, but we need to be revealed to us the things that are in our very hearts, in the deepest part of us, so that when the test comes, will pass it. And that's the thing that he wanted to see in his brothers, his enemies. They wanted to kill him at first. They wanted to throw him in the pit. They wanted to do away with him because he was a dreamer of dreams and they thought that he was after the inheritance. Well, he wasn't after the inheritance. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. But he didn't know how that was going to happen. Sometimes God reveals things to us in dreams and in visions and in words of knowledge. And we don't know how all this is going to fit together until we see the end result. And oftentimes it's not till we get to the end of our lives that we see how God has dealt with us. How God has dealt with the people in our lives to steer us in the right direction. A word of encouragement. A word of knowledge from what he said to them to tell us. And sometimes it's just the circumstances themselves that steer us in the direction that he wants us to go. Considering Joseph in his life, we see that he was sold as a servant into Egypt. Did he complain about it? I don't see anywhere in Jasher or in the writings in Genesis that he showed that he complained about any aspect of the things that he went through. Rather, he got quickly busy in doing what the Father was set him to do. And that was, first off, was in Potiphar's house. The man, he was very powerful in all the things that he did. And he set Joseph over all of his house other than his wife and himself. Only thing Potiphar cared for was going into his mouth, into his belly, and that's all he was to be concerned about. But as we see that he was wrongfully accused of trying to take advantage of Potiphar's wife, and he was thrown into prison. And then as time progressed, the head of the prison saw that God's hand was on Joseph. In fact, so much so that he put him in charge of all the things of that prison. He had no knowledge of all the comings and goings other than he placed them all under Joseph's command. So there was not a thing that happened in that house of the prison that didn't happen unless Joseph okayed it. So he was put in charge again. Now, it doesn't seem like a very good place to be put in charge of a dungeon. But when you are working for God, it doesn't matter how small or how it seems unbearable to think about being in charge of inmates. But as a prison guard, I can tell you, it's not always easy. There was times where I didn't know how it was going to work, how things were going to happen. But I put my trust in God. And I watched him through those times that God took care of me. He protected me. In fact, I had one inmate come up to me and said, "Give me $50 and I'll protect you." Well, here I am, about 6'2" at that time. And it's like, why do I need your protection? God's going to protect me. And they just walked away from me. But I didn't know later on they were planning to kill me later on. And I was supposed to be working at the time, my last day working at that penitentiary. I was turning my uniforms in. And then and the assignments were given out. I was supposed to be working in the cafeteria. So I didn't know that at the time that they were planning to kill the guard on that day. But since Yahweh had already taken me out of that prison and I was put on a different path, that he protected me and me not being there, that didn't happen that day. So we don't know how God is going to use us or in our absence, how much that's going to speak to those around us. That God protected me even during those times. And we can see Joseph as he goes on through his life. Now he's in prison. And he's forgotten again because the two people, or one person for sure, the cupbearer was supposed to tell Pharaoh about Joseph and get him out of prison because he was unjustly put in prison. He didn't realize this, but God was using this as a testing time for him to develop and mature more so, because the next assignment he was going to get was going to be the number two guy, the viceroy of all of Egypt. Can you imagine, here you're working in the street doing something, and then you're thrusted into the vice presidency of the United States? You don't get to do that from ground zero to that position overnight. Although it seems though with our politics, that's usually what goes on. But here, in this case here, God was training him how to be a leader of not just 5 people, 10 people, but millions of people. He was so much in charge that Pharaoh had no knowledge of what was going on because everything was placed under his command. Not one thing moved in Egypt without Joseph's approval. Not one thing was sold without his approval. Not one thing. And yet, here we are. He's telling Pharaoh that this the dream that you had, are 2 dreams, they're 1 dream. And it is this, that there's going to be a famine in the land. It's going to be so great, so severe, you're not going to remember the times of plenty. So he had a plan. God already put the plan in his heart. And we have to ask ourselves, are we that person that if he decides to use us in ministry, are we ready and prepared to go and do the task that he set for us to do? In all this, he was always pointing his brothers back to Yahweh. Even though they rejected Joseph, Joseph never rejected them. He forgave them long before because he realized one thing. And that was God's hand was on his life, and no matter what happened, God was going to protect him and prepare him to do the task at hand. Are we that kind of person that can be ready to do that thing that he called us to do at the moment he calls us? Or are we just sitting back and saying, well, somebody else can do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm too much afraid. But yet I don't see Joseph afraid of anything. From the time he was put into Potiphar's house all the way to the time he was the number two guy in Egypt, he was never accused of being afraid. He was in prison, and yet he never rebelled against what God was doing. Oftentimes in our life, we just want to give up. We just want to walk the other way as Jonah did. Go the other direction. I don't want to go to that place in Nineveh. They're not even going to pay attention to you, God. But you know, if he didn't preach that message that he was going to destroy Nineveh in 40 days, a lot of people would have died. Thousands of people would have died who didn't know their right hand from the left hand. In the same case, when we look at Joseph, he was preparing the way for what we later see as the bride of Messiah. Because the same model is being used today when we see what's going on around us. God is shaping all of our destinies to one place, and that is to come to his place that he prepared for the bride, the woman in the wilderness, to prepare the way and the method that would feed the thousands and to take care of them. We don't have to worry about if we're going to have enough food to do this task. We don't have to be concerned about all the things and all the little intricacies about water and about food and about shelter. Yahweh already has that worked out. Joseph did not think once beyond that God was going to prepare it before it was needed. He gave him the mission before he even knew what the mission was. He revealed it in two different dreams that he was going to be in charge, but it wasn't the way he thought, nor his brothers. He was a humble leader by the time his brothers got to him in his Torah portion. In fact, they were so much afraid of him, they were shaking their boots, that we would say. Yet, Joseph said, don't be afraid. Because he was sent there ahead of them to prepare a place for them. Just as much as Yeshua said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would tell you, I go to prepare a place for you so that you too can be with me. In this, we see that he prepared a place called Goshen. And Goshen was a very fertile place. It was the delta of the Nile. It was very rich in soil. It had grass for the cattle. In fact, this is a place where most Egyptians would not go because it was an abomination for them to be a herdsman, a cattleman, or anything to do with the herds, because they didn't want anything to do with it. They didn't want to get their hands dirty with all this stuff. We see this around us even where we're at in Jordan, where they get the Egyptians to do their work because it's too much for them to do to get their hands dirty and getting garbage off the street that they threw on the ground. It's too difficult for them to pick up that piece of paper and put it in the trash. But rather, they would get the Egyptians to do it. Interesting thing, they would get the Egyptians who put us into slavery to do that job. And they treat them the same way. Just as much as people across the way, they treat other people in the same regard. Because they're not just like them. They're substandard to them. They will get them to do their task. They'll get a goy, somebody from the nation, to push that button on the Sabbath. Because it's beneath them to do work on the Sabbath. That by pushing a button, they consider that work. Well, if it's so much work for you and it's a sin, then it's a sin for me. But Joseph never grumbled or complained about any of the things that they had him do. He went in and put his shoulder to the task, and he went and did the job that most people wouldn't want to do. Most people wouldn't want to work in a dungeon. Most people wouldn't want to work in Potiphar's house, never mind being the head of it. And if you had a heart like that, you wouldn't be put in charge of that either. But Joseph didn't think it was beneath him. He went and he managed Potiphar's house to the nth degree to where nothing happened in that house that Potiphar knew about. Everything happened at his command. Everything ran smoothly until Potiphar's wife got an evil eye towards him. You see, we don't live in a vacuum. Okay, let me back this up a little bit. Joseph could have sinned and nobody would have known it. But then where would have Israel been at that point? Because I don't think God would have used him at that. Because he said, how can I do this evil deed with my master's wife? How could I do this before my God? He couldn't do it. A lot of times the test is not when somebody can see you committing sin, is when nobody can see you doing sin. That's when the true character, this back to the last time I taught, about the true character of a person is not when everybody sees what's going on. It's when they don't see what's going on. That's when the true test is. And what we do in private, it definitely affects what we do in public. In fact, with so much so, we don't live in a vacuum. We think that, as they said in Israel, oh, God doesn't see us. When they go to their basements and they have their idols set up and they bow down before it. Oh, God doesn't see this. And if he did, he's not even here. What difference does it make to me? I'll worship my God in secret. But he says, I'm going to reveal to the thing that you did in secret to everybody. They're going to know what you did. It's going to cause that. They're going to know it, that you are the one. In fact, they probably joined in with them too. That caused them to go into captivity. And yet, we all choose to do right or wrong all the time. And it, just because the enemy says, oh, nobody will see you do that, oh, it doesn't affect anybody else but you. What difference does it make to this person or that person that you're doing this lifestyle? Well, we don't live in a vacuum. When we sin, it affects the entire body. If I hurt my thumb, my toe knows I hurt my thumb because I'm jumping around because I hurt my thumb. I don't jump around that much, but it does hurt. If I stub my toe, my whole body knows I stub my toe. If I poke myself in the eye, then my whole body knows it. Just as much if I sin, that it affects the entire body. It's not done in secret, because somewhere along the line it's going to affect the decisions I make in the public. No politician makes these decisions and they don't think that, I'm going to be fine. I can do these things without anybody knowing it. And it doesn't affect anybody else but me. I'm the one getting wealthy off of this decision I made. I sold arms to the Russians or the Chinese, and I sold these secrets to them. It doesn't affect anybody because I'm going to get wealthy on that, and I'm going to be able to get out. Well, tell that to the Walker family, who wanted to spend a lot of years in Leavenworth. They stole secrets and gave them to the Russians, and a lot of people are going to suffer because of that. So don't think for a second that what we do is in a vacuum. See, Joseph's brothers needed forgiveness. So they needed that in their life because they feared Joseph because he could have killed them at that moment when he saw them to begin with because of what they did to him. But he had compassion on them. They didn't understand what God was going to use him for. So in this whole thing, that Joseph in a moment could have just said, okay, you're executed because you're a spy. And he would have been, nobody would have questioned him. But he would have known. And so would Yahweh. And then where would Israel be again? Everything is one step, then the next, then the next. He was righteous in everything that he did. He listened to what God had to say to him. He carried out those things, and he did those things according to what God said. In all of this, there was repentance and forgiveness. Sure, Joseph could have had them executed for being spies, and through the process of time, he forgave them. In this Torah portion, there is forgiveness and restoration, just as much as it is today. This wasn't just back then. There was repentance and forgiveness for those who want to be redeemed. You get to choose. You get to choose whether you want to be redeemed, whether you want to be in the house of God or not. And it doesn't seem to most people that it even matters. But for those who choose, the life is not always easy. But Yahweh will take us through it. He will bear us up on it. When we go through the hard times, when we go through the easy times, when we rejoice over the things that He's given us, when we can do that in all things, then He will truly bless us as He blessed Joseph and all that He did. Joseph never asked to be sold into slavery. Joseph never asked to be put in leadership. He didn't beg. He didn't barter. He didn't want it. By all the ways that we can see here, he didn't go up to Potiphar and say, "Make me a leader, and I'll make you rich." He never said that. But what he did was through his actions, he showed Potiphar that he was able to handle the stress of being in charge of his household, able to be the leader of his household. He felt safe with Joseph. Do people feel safe around us to where they can trust us and to assign us these positions? I was talking about this earlier with other people about being in leadership, how God has used other people in my life to show me what to do, to show me, to train me. And God put me in leadership so many different times that if I wasn't ready, I couldn't have done it. But there was one time where I wasn't ready, and I knew I wasn't ready. I had a store manager said this. She said, "Well, either you take this promotion or you can step down and be a Salesforce associate." I said, "What kind of choice is that?" I couldn't believe she even offered it like that. But because of other people's desire to take my position away, oh, they got it. And they weren't happy. And I knew I wasn't ready to take the next promotion at that point. But you know, later on, he gave it back to me. A different position, a different place in the store, in the same position. And I was ready for it then. So are we going to take these opportunities as God gives them to us, and as Yahweh reveals His Son to us? Are we going to go through these things and do the things that He wants us to do? Or are we just going to sit back and let somebody else do it? And he would actually use somebody else. But we are at this point in time in history that He's ready to come. And are we ready to come? Are we ready for His coming? Are we preparing the way for the bride, preparing the way for the groom, as John the Baptist was? There's much discussion on that topic alone. But with Joseph, he was ready and willing to do what God called him to do at that time. And are we ready and willing to do what God's called us at this time, on this end of the history? Because if we're not, we need to get check our heart and repent for the things that we've done. And we should be doing that all the time. In this Torah portion, there is forgiveness and restoration. All 12 brothers were reunited, and their father was reunited with Joseph. So what Yeshua does, He reunites us with the Father. But we have to choose to be under His kingship, be part of the kingdom. And if we're not part of the kingdom, how can we know who a Father is? He says to one of His disciples, He says, "Show us a Father and it will suffice for us." He says, "Have I been with you so long that you don't know who I am?" He wasn't saying He was a Father, but He was the one that showed him the Father through what He did. He says, "If you love me, then you love my Father. My Father will love you also. If you knew who I was, then you would also know who my Father is." God stepped into a human existence. He put away the things to judge us. And He said, "I did not come to judge you. I came to show you how to live." And He said that in Matthew chapter 5. So in Matthew 6, 9 through 15, it says, "Therefore you pray like this." Because we always ask, well, how do we get to know what the kingdom is? What do we pray? What do we pray for? And how do we want Him to teach us how to pray. So in Matthew 6, 9 through 15, He says, "Therefore pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Indeed, if you forgive people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive people and their sins, your Heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. This is what it means about the Father's business. To go about his the Father's business is to go out and forgive those who have wronged us. Yes, there is consequence to be paid for the things that they have done and the things that we've done. There's consequences to be paid. But he forgives us. He restores us. And that's what Yeshua is about, his restoration of the kingdom. So when he died, all of us died with him. But when he rose again, the kingdom was restored back, not just back to Solomon's days, not back to David's days, but back to the Garden of Eden. The way it was meant to be, the way things were supposed to be at the very beginning. We were never meant to die. We were to be his servants forever, without end. We'll be able to do that, but we have to go through the process. We have to go through what's called death, and to be resurrected. We'll have to die to ourselves and to let him live through us. This is how the connection between Joseph and Yeshua is, that they were willing to put their own lives aside. And Yeshua paid the ultimate price for our sins against the kingdom, to where there was no restoration possible to come back to him. And the only way possible for us to come back to him was through his death. And when he resurrected, he allowed us to come back into the kingdom, to where we can live as citizens with him, to repent, to be forgiven, to be restored back to the Father. Because this is what this whole thing is about, to be restored back to the kingdom the way it was back in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. If that's not the purpose of living, I don't know what is. We get to choose to get back in the kingdom. And we can choose to do what he says to do. We can choose these things. And then we get to do the things that are in the Torah without any hesitation, with one heart, one soul, and one mind. So the next time you feel like doing something that nobody would see you, think again. Because God sees you. It's not done in the vacuum. It is something that is done in front of him. He sees everything. He knows our thoughts. He knows our heart. And he says our hearts are will is wicked to the nth degree. And there's no way that we can make enough repentance on our own good deeds to pay that debt back. It took him to die to get us to come back to him, because without that we were lost totally and there was no hope for our redemption. And I give you blessings, because this is what I had to teach today.
Amen. Well, thank you, Rick. Appreciate that. Does